to FinTech's DEI Discussion podcast series. This is the Women of FinTech chapter, and we are here today to celebrate the wins, raise awareness of the challenges, and walk the talk for change across the entire financial technology industry. And today we are joined by Tanya Ziv, Experienced Chief Operating and Chief Compliance Officer for FinTechs. She is here to share how she walks the talk for inclusion in our sector, and more importantly, what more she wants done. Tanya, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited about this conversation, and thank you for coming to the studio. Just for everyone to know a little bit more about who you are and your experience, tell us a bit about your career to date.
So I'm very old, so we're not gonna go very far, but I've started my career as an M&A lawyer in the high tech kind of space. I did a lot of M&As of startups or high tech firms sold to bigger organizations. And then when we moved to London, about now 12 years ago, redirected myself to the fintech industry, which just started back then here, and rode that wave, and managed different scale of kind of teams and different scale of companies. Toro, which back then was quite a small company, today is very big. I joined them when there were 100 people. Currency Cloud, I've done that for 6 years, was their chief compliance officer, more currently chief operating officer, another fintech. So I did very different scales of teams and businesses throughout the years. Mm.
And these are well-known names, exciting. And I love the fact that you come from a legal background, because a lot of people think, oh, to be C-level within a fintech, you must have done computer science. And I love your diversity of thought and what you can bring to each of these businesses. Tell us a little bit about what you love most about fintech as an industry.
So I think it, definitely when it started, I think that one of the most interesting things about it was that it required different solutions from what was existing in that, you know, the more usual financial world. So for example, in my compliance world back then, the regulation was just not fit for those kind of institutions. So it required a lot of out-of-the-box thinking and just doing things really differently. And that means everything. It means the people that you hire need to be a bit more creative, need to be able to take a bit more risk maybe, not to take risk in terms of do things, the wrong things, but be a bit more flexible and think. Mm. And not just apply what already is out there. I think today really developed, right? It is part of kind of the more already normal financial world as well. Mm. So now the challenges in this industry, which I also really enjoy, is how you scale it further. Mm. It's no longer startups. It is more how do you take that now way of thinking and scale it, which now requires a lot more organization and discipline and all of these fun stuff. Mm. And I really enjoy that too.
Yeah, there's so many more considerations, isn't it, when you scale. Where does culture and environment fit into all of this?
Yeah. So first of all, I think culture and environment are, you know, the fundamentals in every business. I think in fintech, hence, since it's a regulated business as well, it is even more important. And we can see today, not going to mention any brands, but there are some companies, let's say, that struggle with that image a bit more, and then they also struggle with the regulators more. But putting that aside, I think culture is an essential thing for us to enjoy work, right? Mm. And since work, for a lot of us, is such a big part of our life, I think it is just so important. We'll attract, I think, the right culture, or I hope, and that was my experience, will attract the right talent. And the right talent is at the end what can build the business, scale it, sell it. My experience in my previous company, which we sold successfully to a very big organization, was that we worked so well together and the culture was so special that I am sure, of course, the product was good, but what enabled all of that and managed to unlock everyone's best kind of talent and best their version of themselves was the culture.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because so many businesses, as they scale, as they grow, or even as they exist, but they're always trying to be more profitable, be more successful. Mm-hmm. So many of them put culture and environment as a secondary. And then even more interesting, they don't tie inclusion into the foundation philosophy of the business. So I just wanted to ask you about your thoughts around mission of these scale-ups and values of these scale-ups and how that is so linked to the entire business philosophy and where inclusion sits within that.
So you mentioned a few things, so I'll break it down a bit maybe. First of all, I think you are right that a lot of... So there are different struggles in different stages of the business. I think when you're just starting up, mission and values are easier to talk about because they're a lot more authentic. When it's three people in a room who's just thinking about what they... The mission is very clear to them, and the values will be the values of those three people, right? So that's easier. But you're right that then when the pressures of, okay, getting the numbers in is turned up, then a lot of the people would do the mistakes and think the mistake of thinking that culture is not important, let's not focus on it. And while I understand and also agree that some things need to happen naturally, so it's not, it's almost not that you have to focus on it in the beginning so much. I think in a way it is as simple as just be a good person and bring the values that you have at home with your friends in your life. This is also your life. And like you're, when you're building a family, right, or you're starting up, you're not thinking, oh, what are the values that we hear? And you don't sit down as a couple and discuss, okay, what are our values? It just naturally happens. I think preserving that when you grow and scale is very hard. And that is when it becomes work, like in a relationship, right? The beginning, this is not a conversation you would have when you were dating, but as you grow as a family, maybe you should have a sit down and say, actually, how should we raise our children? What do we believe as a family? In a way, in a similar way, I think, in a business when it does grow, because all of a sudden it's not just 3, 4, 5, 10 people, you now need to align maybe 100 people, maybe 200 people, 300 people behind the same values. And I think when we talk about inclusion, of course, it starts with who were these first three people? How inclusive were they in their thinking to begin with? Because very often you see that the company is very similar all the way through. But personally, I'm not a big believer of, okay, just put it on a sticker. Say, okay, we're going to be an inclusive company. We're going to measure how many women, how many this, how many... I don't know. I never saw that this worked. I think the values that also bring inclusion are open-mindedness, right? Or do you... Things like, how flexible are you? So it's actually the smaller things that build up the foundations of how you started thinking about how you treat people. And I also think, we've spoke about this before, you and I think we always go to inclusion women, but there are so many other different kinds of people and people with different opinions. How open are we to listen to them if they voice them differently than what we're used to? Those are the things I think that kind of, it just, and it kind of builds up the small things. I think really having inclusion as one of your values, that will not do much. But actively working on yourself as a management team to listen to other voices, even within your group. If you notice that one of your members is usually more quiet in a meeting, why is that? What, really, they don't have anything to say? Maybe you're not creating a safe space for them to speak. Work on that together as a team. That, to me, creates inclusion.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing those examples, because that's what this podcast is about, so we can all get better at how we include and how we build great environments. I want to touch upon something you spoke about, which is around people being able to be their best selves at work. What have you seen that's worked for this and supported individuals within businesses?
I think the best way to unlock, so I would say culture and leadership. And these things are strongly connected, but not always the same. It's a bit like saying nice people, not necessarily good people. The other way around, and it's in a similar way. I think these two things are strongly connected, but they're not the same. The culture could be very nice, but there could still be a significant lack of leadership. Could be the opposite as well. Mm-hmm. And I think the two, more actually leadership in a way, are really important to unlock people and talent. Mm-hmm. I think a true leader should know how to work with different people, to see their potential, and to help them in their way. If you are a triangle, not to force you to be a square. Mm-hmm. Maybe if he doesn't need a triangle, or she, then okay, don't hire a triangle. But if you do, and you hire them for a square role, maybe you need to change things around. Mm-hmm. So don't, I think good leaders can see that and organize the org in a way that will put people in the right places and allow them to develop. Mm-hmm. And that is really, it's easier said than done, because it requires a lot of one-on-one time and building the next level down of leadership. They can do that with the people that they lead. And there is also, to me, a big difference between managing people and leading them. Those are two, this is like the day-to-day, and leadership is more about that, in my view.
Mm. And some people often mix the two. They think being a boss, being a coach, being a mentor, being a manager, that's all, you know, and they often gravitate to just one, when actually these are all different, very different functions of support and growth. Yeah. Whenever I open these podcasts, I always say, we're here today to walk the talk, and I want to help the audience walk the talk. So what would be your advice to people listening on what they can do in their businesses to drive forward inclusion?
Again, since we said, or since I believe that it all starts with culture and leadership, I would advise every leadership team to have at least the founder to begin with, maybe some individuals, but also as a group, to have a coach. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that is so important. Again, if we take the example of a family, at some point, going to a few sessions with a therapist is not a bad idea. Yeah. Even if you get along and everything is fine, it really helps. And it really helps to have that diverse conversation that is just not always easy in these rooms. Mm. A lot of executives sit down together. There is ego. There is full people. It's often really difficult, and you do need that help of someone to come in and help you to understand each other a bit better and how you work together better. So I think that, to me, and I've seen how this can completely transform a team. I think that would be my first advice. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I would say that really invest in your leadership level. Don't hire people just because they're good executors or they're good at what they do. Those can be maybe good soul contributors. But invest in true leadership. People who can sell a vision, who care about people, who can take people with them. For that, you need visionaries. And you need people who like people as well. It's very difficult to do that if you're just not enjoying other people. So I think these two, to me, are really important.
Mm. That's so powerful, because, you know, we've recorded over 400 of these episodes now, and no one's ever said, have your leaders as people who like people, who enjoy supporting them and really relish in all their differences, because it sounds so simple, but it's so true. Because how many leaders have we seen that are frustrated? You can see them tutting, breathing heavily. They've had enough of whatever that individual's issue may be. Actually, this is the journey.
This is their job.
Yeah.
This is actually the main job that they have. At some point in an organization, it does its own thing. It runs. Mm. So the execution layer is happening. But your main job as a leadership team is to lead. And I think if you don't want to do that, then you're a manager, but you're not a leader. And I think this is where the organization starts to... slow.
And super valuable to be looking at this and checking it, being thoughtful and purposeful with it, especially as you say, as you grow. Because, you know, this whole episode we've been talking about what can happen naturally, but what needs to be purposeful. And there's so much here that I can imagine people will be listening saying, well, actually, we need to be more purposeful on that. So thank you for coming in and joining us on FinTech's DEI discussions. It's been brilliant talking to you about leadership and culture and so much more. Let's listen, let's learn, let's walk the talk. Thank you.